And we are talking about the issue today of mosquitoes and malaria and ways that are trying to be found to actually combat them. And to help us with that, we're going to be talking to Prof. Basil Brook, who's the head of Vector Control Reference Laboratory at the NICD NHLS. Prof, thank you so much for joining us on 101.9 High FM.
Good afternoon, Benji, and thank you for inviting me, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Now, what prompted this discussion is actually something by the producers, where they picked up something that Google had decided that they're going to be putting basically infertile mosquitoes into the landscape or the environment, so that when they mate with other mosquitoes, then you won't have new ones coming to the fore. Now, mosquito or anti-malaria fighting technology has become something. Even they're using AI for it. There's nets, there's poisons, there's all sorts of things. So I'm interested to tell us, how big is the problem when it comes to malaria, and is it as much of a problem still in South Africa? Let's start there.
Thank you, Snow. So it's not much of a problem in South Africa. We have very, very good provincial control programs in the endemic parts of our country, which is really the northeastern low-veld regions. But we have a very long history of malaria control in South Africa, and so our incidence is very low, which is why we are actually aiming to eliminate malaria within South Africa, and we're hoping to do that within the next 5 to 10 years. But on a global scale, malaria is still a huge problem, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, you can look up the WHO statistics, but millions and millions and millions of cases and hundreds of thousands of deaths annually. So, you know, it is still a very significant disease on the continent.
Absolutely. Now talking about these different technologies, I mean, people that I've spoken to in the malaria combat world said, really, this is just a disease of resources. It's been eradicated all over the world. Israel used to have this problem, parts of Europe, America, and it isn't any more, just because basically there was enough money and enough skills to get rid of it. But obviously, that sort of money isn't always available. So I'm interested in what you think about these various technologies and what effect they might have in helping to combat malaria going forward.
Yeah, look, malaria is primarily, not exclusively, but primarily a rural disease. And it's very, very embedded in Africa, as it used to be in the Mediterranean region and through a lot of Europe, as you said, even in as far north as Scotland. And they still have malaria mosquitoes in those regions. But what they don't have is the parasite. And I think that's what industrialization brings. It brings a health care system that is strong enough to remove malaria parasites from the population so that they simply cannot be transmitted between people anymore. And that's really the key to eradication, is to, you know, to drive incidence down as far as you can, which is what we've done here in South Africa, and then really aim to get rid of the malaria, the Plasmodium parasite population itself. And then there can be no more onward transmission, and therefore you've eliminated malaria.
So how do you go about doing that, technology or not technology? How do you go about separating the parasite from the mosquito?
Well, the parasite, infects mosquitoes and people. It has a very complicated life cycle, half of which is in the mosquito and half of which is in the human. And it's while it's going through its life cycle in the human that it's making people ill if they become infected. So that means you need to really have a two-pronged approach. So you need to target the mosquitoes that transmit malaria, and you also need to try and find people who are infected with malaria and, of course, treat them to clear the parasites so that they can't be there can be no onward transmission. So it's a sort of it's finding the parasite clearance, if you like, and mosquito clearance. But that's not easy because there are very few species of mosquitoes that actually transmit malaria. They're very specific types that we have to find, and they're not easy to find either. especially in South Africa. So, you know, it's quite a technically challenging thing to do. It's an incredibly resilient disease, despite its incredible complexity. But I think, you know, the technologies are advancing, and there's a lot of innovation happening in the field. And I think we're really hoping for some much greater success over the next decade or so.
Now, people who are going to malaria areas and want to not make sure they don't get the disease, what options are available to also for prevention if you're having to travel to those areas, or I guess even live in those areas?
Yeah, so if you're traveling to what you know is a malaria endemic area, and if you're not sure, there are risk maps. The Department of Health website has risk maps. The NICD website has the risk maps, so you can see exactly where in South Africa the malaria affected regions are. Otherwise, you can always contact a travel clinic to find out, you know, if the place you're going to, if it's outside of South Africa, if it is a malaria risk region or not. And then you can consult the probably the best thing to do if you are worried is to take prophylaxis, which you can get sometimes. There's some prophylactics you can get from a pharmacy without a prescription. Others do need a prescription. So it's really best to consult your doctor if you are concerned about that, so that you can get prophylactics. And then, you know, the best way to not get malaria is simply to not get bitten by mosquitoes. And so there's various things you can do. They only really bite at night. So if you cover up your ankles, if you wear, you know, long trousers, long sleeve shirts, you know, put socks on to cover your ankles in the evenings, use repellents. Look for the ones that are DEET-based. That's DEET. They work very well. And moving air is good for repelling mosquitoes. You know, using an air conditioner or a fan, if you have access to that, also helps. And, you know, if you're staying somewhere where there are window or door screens, those really help as well.
Now,
so, you know, just those are basically the measures you can take.
Okay, so yeah, that is very helpful just to give people an idea about the sort of things they can do. Now, I can't let you go because of where you're based and just not ask about another disease which has been in the news, about this question of Ebola. I understand that the NICD and the NHLS used to be where they actually identified Ebola patients that were coming into the country. What is South Africa's readiness these days for this kind of disease and the effects it might have over here?
Well, you know, look, that's right out of my field, and there are, of course, other people you can speak to. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. But our readiness is very good. The NICD specializes in diagnostics of unusual diseases or special diseases, special pathogens, if you like. And so we certainly, that's usually where the NICD plays its greatest role, is being able to diagnose diseases like Ebola, and then, of course, leading an outbreak response if such a thing occurs. That hasn't happened here in South Africa, of course, but you know, there are people who are closely, very closely monitoring the situation, and all the, you know, the Department of Health, of course, has various mitigation strategies in place in case we do record a case here. But I'd be happy to refer you to the people who can really give you much deeper answers about that if you'd like.
Yeah, certainly. And I think it's just important to know that things are being done and how, you know, that everything is safe. I guess that's what you ask public health experts for. Now, if people are interested in this kind of thing, you know, diseases of different kinds, vector-based diseases, tropical diseases. We've got a lot of interesting stuff here. Is there more information that people can get on about the work that you guys are involved in?
Oh, absolutely. You just go to the NICD website. That's, you know, www.nicd.ac.za. And there's an A to Z of diseases. And there's loads of information there about any disease you can think of, especially a communicable disease. And also, there's a lot of information about what the NICD does what the different centers do, what kinds of projects they run, how they do surveillance, how they do outbreak response. So if you simply go onto the NICD website, there's really a wealth of information there.
Well, there we go. That's really, really helpful. Professor Basil Brook, thank you so much for joining us on the show today and giving us your perspective on the issues to do with malaria and a little bit of Ebola and just the work at the NICD. I think maybe people should go and read it before the next outbreak or whatever we have so that they're prepared.
Yeah, please do. And thank you very much for inviting me.
Great stuff. There we go. That is Prof. Basil Brook, Head of Vector Control Reference Laboratory at the NICD NHLS. Go check out the website. There's some fascinating stuff on there. And actually, all in the center is well within the range of this radio station. So if you go there, you can actually see what is going on just around the corner from where you live.